morning service here this morning. It's good to be in church. It was a blessing to be in the Sunday school hour. I believe the Lord worked through his word. I'm always thankful for the Sunday school hour, and it's a little different than your typical AM service. I believe you really can dive into some things during Sunday school. It's a little more of a teaching, and I always appreciate it. And God always moves in my heart in our Sunday school hour, so I'm very thankful for it. I'm thankful for what God's going to do in this service this morning. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to singing some songs to praise our Lord, to hear his word preached and taught to us through the man of God that he's given to us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a God that loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. I don't know that I'll ever be able to wrap my head around the fact that God actually wants to hear from me. Can't understand that. I know myself. He knows me better than I know myself, so I can't figure out why he wants to hear from me. But he does. He loves to hear the prayers of his children and wants to build a relationship with us and help us to walk with him and to glorify him. And I'm so thankful for a Savior that loves me and doesn't give up on me and continually every day works on my heart and tries to help me to grow in his word. I'm so thankful for that. But it's good to be in church this morning. I'm looking forward to hearing some preaching this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Jim DeLucia. You were the star of Sunday school, so we're gonna have you ask the Lord to open us up with a word of prayer this morning. We'll explain later, brother.
We thank you, dear Heavenly Father. We have a place to come to gather together and be with our friends and our brethren. And we can hear that word that's going to be preached, and we pray that it's, whatever it is spoken, maybe it's to someone that'll hit specially, and that we pray that it would work that way. If it had to work that way, it had to be. And we pray that you give our pastor the words to say. We can all think to ourselves, we are very fortunate or blessed to have a church to come to and have these people here as close friends and just people to count on, to look upon. We just thank you for your word, for your son given to us, for these sins that we seem to just pile upon us. We also have that blessing. We ask for forgiveness that's given us. And we praise the Son's name as yours, dear Heavenly Father, and pray just let us all appreciate this day and be Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
And in case you're wondering what we're talking about, Brother Jim, he'll be taking sign-ups for the mountaineering, missionary classes.
What's that really? What on earth are they talking about?
No, you were the star of Sunday school. We'll get you a copy of the tape so you can hear. Pastor was saying that if you go on a mountain with you, you might not come back because you'll wear them out. So we're thankful for your brother. But if you would, I invite you to stand with me and turn to page 592. We are going to sing I Love to Tell a Story, page 592.
Jesus and his glory, of Jesus. Ring the Bells of Heaven. We'll sing this one a cappella. Page 3, 4.
Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today, for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meets him out upon the way, welcoming your weary, wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud hearts ring. Is the ransom army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free? Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today, for the wandering now is reconciled. Yes, his soul is rescued from the sinful way, and is born anew a ransomed child.
Glad to be saved this morning. Amen. Glad to be in church.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Erica. Glad to be in church this morning. Anybody glad to be in church this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you put them to sleep or something?
I guess.
Amen. Brother Jim, we need to go on a hike.
Everybody
needs to go on a hike. I was talking to Brother Jim how you look at some of those mountains out there and say how you want to climb them. Some look pretty hard to climb, but I appreciate that. I appreciate being willing to get out there and do something that looks impossible to do. And with the strength of Jesus Christ, we can go forward with him and do some things that look impossible to do. Amen. Because he's worthy of it. Amen. So only announcements I got. Lord willing, my wife and daughter and I will be leaving out tomorrow to travel up to Maine for our third son's wedding. So please keep us in prayer as we travel up there. Lord willing, we'll be back the following week. So we'll be up there for that. Lord willing, also when I get back, I haven't set a date on this yet, but it's something I've been wanting to do for a little while, and some things have come across my path that I think it needs to be done now. So when I get back, I'll be setting up a time to meet with those that work in the nursery, and then also for all those that are involved in the Sunday school. We'll be looking at some different things there, possibly doing the way we do Sunday school, and then also with the nursery. So if anybody's interested in helping out in either one of those, you're invited to come to that as well. Probably do it after one of the Sunday morning services. And then also I ask for your prayers that you continue to pray for those that go out and hand out tracts. Pray for those that hand out tracts, that God will bless the tracts. Those that witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will bless that witness. Whether it be at the workplace, whether it be out there on the streets, wherever it may be, to lost family members, that God would just bless his word as it goes out to just deal with lost individuals and lost loved ones. And just please continue to pray for those that are going through some serious things here in the church. Please keep the Colvilles in prayer and Derek and his wife and family with the battle that's going on there, that God would continue to help and provide grace for that. Please keep Brother June and Sister May in prayer right now. I don't know if they're still in the air. If not, they're coming pretty close to the end of their journey, which they started late last night. But they flew back over to the Philippines
to spend some time with his family and also his wife's family. Just pray for open doors with his and then also some time that they get to spend with his wife's family. And I also ask if you pray for Dan and Christina. I think they're flying back from Greece this coming weekend, that God would just give them safe travels as well back from a foreign country. Lastly, please continue to keep our in prayer our missionaries, that God would just help them to just stay faithful, to not quit and not just give up because things are getting hard in certain areas overseas, but that God would just meet their needs and strengthen and encourage them to just stay faithful in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would I'd ask you to stand with me if you're able and turn to page 801. I think this is a favorite of many. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art, page number 801.
Amen. God is great. Lord Jesus Christ is great. It's a blessing to be able to sing to Him this morning. You know, I'll say this, and I hope you understand why I say what I say and why I say it. It's nice when things sound good, but it's even better when people sing out with their heart.
Yes,
amen. It's nice to sound good. It's nice to harmonize. That's good. But it's even better when God gets in it because it comes from the heart. I'm dead serious on that, brother. I don't come to church. I don't personally come to church, and I know I'm the pastor, so I got to be here. Should I be here every service? If I have to be here every service, shouldn't everyone else?
Yes.
I would think yes. Well, all of a sudden you come in here Sunday morning, I'm not here. Probably wouldn't be getting my paycheck. Glenn would dock my pay for missing a service. That's why he's not a deacon yet. No, we don't have no deacons, so don't worry about that right now, right? No, but I'm serious, brethren. Look, there's a song, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." And it says, lest the Holy Spirit meet with us, it's all in vain. We can come here and sound the most beautiful. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't say I like to hear everybody sing off key. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, if the only thing is because of the way it sounds, that don't mean nothing. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir sounds good. They sound good. They sound real good. BYU's choir over there in Utah, they can sing out some of those hymns. But God ain't accepting one bit of it because they don't even believe Jesus Christ is God. And so basically, they're nice sounding voices and beauty. The song goes as far as the ceiling, and that's about as far as it goes. And it's to their glory. But see, we sing hymns to give glory to Him. When we sing "How Great Thou Art," it ought to be our heart. We ought to be inside. We ought to be lifting up our heart to God, saying, "God, You're great. You're worthy of it. God, I'm a nothing, Lord. And just thank You for the opportunity to even have a mouth and a tongue to sing to You for what You've done for me in my life." That's why we sing. I don't sing out to make sure everybody else around me likes that I've been singing in key. I sing out, and I don't care what you think how I sing. I'm singing out because I'm closing my eyes and I'm praising the One who's worthy to be praised. Now again, things done decently in order, don't get me wrong on these things. It would not be a good thing if you had a choir and everybody was tone deaf. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight, this morning. What I'm saying is, we first and foremost, is it coming from the heart to glorify your Savior? And then everything else will fall in its proper place. If we can't sing out to Jesus Christ, I don't know who we could sing out to. You know why sometimes churches have an issue or a problem? Because what the Bible says here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 18, if you take your Bible and go there this morning, we're going to continue on with our study here with Jehoshaphat and how Jehoshaphat was a very, very, very good king. Jehoshaphat was one of the best kings that the kingdom of Judah had. But Jehoshaphat also caused some serious problems after his reign with his children. So during Jehoshaphat's reign, there were some good things that were accomplished during his reign. Jehoshaphat did some very, very good things after taking over for his father. But Jehoshaphat also caused some issues to occur because of his affinity with Ahab. Okay? And one of the problems we have in our churches today, and one of the reasons I think that we do not see God's Spirit move, we don't see the Holy Spirit move in our services. And again, I'm not going Pentecostal this morning. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost of God moving in a service. Not just emotions, not just being stirred up because we got a good piano player or we got a choir or we got other instruments to where we can work something up emotionally, but God's not in it. You see, there was a camp meeting one time with the children of Israel, but during that camp meeting, the ark got stolen. And God was nowhere in that camp meeting because God was not with them because they were doing things that were wrong by God. But the Philistines heard it and thought something great was about to occur when in reality, the Jews were getting ready to get taken over and lose the ark. You see, brethren, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I think a lot of churches today have lost powers because they have an affinity to the world. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. We looked at it last week. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Jehoshaphat had no reason to join affinity to Ahab. And again, I said before we go on in this, Jehoshaphat was a very, very good king. Jehoshaphat set some very good things up with the kingdom of Judah. We're going to learn about, hopefully some this morning, about how he set up leadership in the kingdom of Judah that was to produce some good things in that country. But the only problem is that he joined affinity with Ahab, and it almost cost him his life. But as we find out in the coming generations, it cost his sons their life. Because they follow in the footsteps of daddy, and what daddy only took 2 steps, the son takes 10 steps. And see, our churches today have joined, a lot of them, affinity with the world. Maybe not so much even inside the sanctuary, but outside the sanctuary. And so what you join affinity with out there affects what occurs in here. What you watch and what you spend your time with out there affects the services when you come in here. If you're watching things that you ought not to be watching out there, it's going to affect how you worship in here. It's going to affect the spirit of the church. And see, some don't see that. But if you ever get an opportunity to preach or teach and you come behind here, you will see that. You'll see it. You'll notice it. A preacher or a pastor or someone that's trying to walk with God, they'll notice immediately, yes, something's not right. Something's not right. I don't know what it is. I'm not God. But I can tell you the Spirit's not right. So what I say is, what is done out there, we think, well, we just come into church and everything will be fine. No, what's done out there and what time is spent with out there affects what's done in here. And if the majority of our time is looking at Facebook, flipping through our phones, watching television shows we shouldn't be watching, watching movies we shouldn't be watching, spending time with things we ought not to be, joining affinity with the world, it's then going to affect the worship in the church. And that's why we're gathered together. We're gathered together to worship and give glory and honor and pleasure to the Father through the Son. That's why we're in church. We're in church to give Him glory and honor. And see, Jehoshaphat, for whatever reason, decides to join affinity with Ahab in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse number 1. Now, we looked at those things and we looked at this story last week. And we continued on into verses 20 through 22. And in verses 20 through 22, we find that Jehoshaphat knows better. Look at verse number 6 in 2 Chronicles 18. Jehoshaphat knows better. He's a man that loves God. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Jehoshaphat can pick out real quick that the prophets that Ahab brought in, the prophets who are talking about the Lord, but not the Lord and God of the Bible, a Lord and God made up in their own minds, Jehoshaphat can see through it real quick and says to Ahab, is there not here a true prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him whether we should go out to this battle or not? So Jehoshaphat knows better. And it says in verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Verse number 7, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. There's one man, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat. Yeah, there is one. There is one man that we might inquire of the Lord and find out what we need to do, but I hate him. I don't like him. And the reason we find out that Ahab hates him is because he always prophesies evil to me and never good. All he ever does is talk about negative things, and I don't like him. He never tells me the good things. So I don't like him. And so Jehoshaphat says, call for him. So as we looked at last week, they call for them. They sit on their thrones in their robes in a void place the Bible talks about. And then Micaiah comes in and Micaiah gives him what he wants to hear. And the Bible says in verse 13, after Micaiah gives him what he wants to hear, Ahab's not stupid. And Ahab says in verse 15, and the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? This is deep, brethren. As we get into the message this morning, these are scary, scary statements. Scary, fearful statements. You can be in such a place like Ahab to where he says, I know what truth is, but I'm going to hear the truth, but I'm not going to do the truth. To my own destruction. Basically, what Micaiah is going to say to Ahab is, if you go and do what you want to do, you're going to die. La, 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 I don't want to hear what you got to say because I hate you because all you do is tell me evil instead of good. Blah, 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 blah. And I hate you because you tell me the truth. And Micaiah is trying to spare his life. Micaiah is God's trying to steer Ahab from his own self-destruction. And not only is he trying to steer Ahab from his own self-destruction, he's trying to keep Jehoshaphat from following with him. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to hear it because it's not a pleasant message. It's not a good message. I want to go up there and I want to do this. And Micaiah says, you better not do that. But at first, Micaiah gives Ahab what he wants to hear. And Ahab has enough sense about him to say, tell me the truth in the name of the Lord. And then in verses 16 through 19, he tells him the truth. But what's even more fearful is he gives a story here in verse 20. Micaiah does. And he says, there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. Now, brethren, as we get into the lesson and the preaching this morning, I'm just doing a little bit of review here. Micaiah reviews something that God shows him. And basically, he tells him, everybody that can hear that is standing there, Ahab, Jehoshaphat, the servants, the soldiers, whoever is in this immediate area as Micaiah is talking, is hearing that there's an evil spirit up there that tells the Lord, I'll go and be that lying spirit, that lying spirit to speak in the ears of Ahab to tell him to go forward. Everybody hears this. Brethren, if I'm standing around and I know there's a true man of God there, if I was in the Old Testament, and we know that the king doesn't like him, and he says, number one, if you go, you're going to die. But then he proceeds to say a story that God showed him of a lie, that God sent a lying spirit to deceive the king. I'm running back to the house. But everybody there decides to be self-deceived because they don't want to hear the truth. And the question this morning is, what do you do with truth? What do you do with truth that's revealed to you? Do you turn a deaf ear? Do you turn from hearing it and say, the truth and the lights that's been given to me, I don't like it. Thus, I'm going to do what I want to do rather than what does the truth say? What does God say? What does the Bible say? Not what I think, but what does the Bible say? You know, I try to out there the few seconds you get on a street corner as people are sitting in the cars, just to ask, what is truth? What is truth? Who's telling the truth? Is Buddhism true? Is atheism true? Is Hinduism true? Confucianism, Taoism, which one's truth? Is Jesus Christ truth? Is Muhammad truth? Is the Bible true? Is the Quran true? Is all the writings of Buddha or the writings of Hinduism, is that true? What is truth? That's exactly what Pilate asked. And he had truth standing right in front of his face. Jesus Christ was God manifest in flesh. He was truth personified. And Pilate turned his back and didn't acknowledge the truth that was right in front of his face to his own destruction. And many today, when they're given truth, what do they do with truth? You say, well, preacher, how do I know what truth is? Holy Spirit of God will bear witness with it. You'll know in your spirit that that's true. Because the Holy Spirit will whisper, that's true. But you got to be quiet enough to be able to hear it. People today, when they're given truth, they stay so busy. They listen to so many things. They watch so many things. They're so busy. They don't have enough time to just sit still for a second and hear the Holy Spirit saying, hey, that's true. That still small voice. that speaks to the soul of man. And that's why the devil's done a masterful job today keeping people so busy they can't sit still long enough to hear the Spirit of God speak to their heart. I'll ask you this question tonight, this morning. Did the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart when you got saved? Did the Holy Spirit speak to your heart when you got saved? I hope so. I hope the Holy Spirit reproved and spoke to you your need of the Savior. Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about to the heart of man. That you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And here's the way out. And here's the way to have your sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard a testimony this week. Well, my mama said. I don't care what mama said. Did the Holy Spirit tell you? Well, my mama led me in. Well, that's fine. But did God lead you in it? That's a fearful thing, brethren. An affinity with Ahab, affinity to the world, not being able to hear the truth and what truth is. Brethren, the Bible says in verse 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 18, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets." And look what the Bible says, "And the Lord has spoken evil against thee." The last thing that Micaiah says to the whole crowd there is he says, listen, the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. And nobody there heeds the warning from Micaiah. Not one person. And if anybody there in that crowd should have heeded the warning of Micaiah, it ought to have been Jehoshaphat. He's the one that asked for the information. Brethren, Jehoshaphat's the one that asked for this. Jehoshaphat asked for the truth. Jehoshaphat asks, is there a prophet that can tell us what we need to hear? Is there one that we can inquire of the Lord in the way that we should go? God provides it for Jehoshaphat in the form of Micaiah. And Micaiah says, listen, God has spoken evil with the venture you're getting ready to go do. But does Jehoshaphat take heed to that information? No. Jehoshaphat goes on because he's got an affinity with Ahab. He's let Ahab fool him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel, Paul tells the church at Corinth. Paul tells the church at Corinth, and no marvel, don't be surprised, he tells the church, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Paul tells the church at Corinth at the very beginning of the church age period, he tells the brethren there in the very beginning, listen, don't be surprised because the devil himself can transform himself into an angel of light and his ministers can be transformed as ministers of righteousness. So you say, well, preacher, how do we know what's right then? How do we know who's telling the truth? Does all the world follow after it and have no problem with its message? Take your Bible and look at Luke 16, verse 15. How do you know it's truth? One of the ways you'll know it's truth is if all the world's going after it, it's probably not a God. Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. If the world's got no problem with it, it's probably not right. That's one of the issues with Billy Graham in the latter part of his ministry. Everybody in the world loved him. Listen, when you got an audience with the Pope, you're not doing what the Bible says. Something's wrong. Something's wrong when you can join affinity with the Pope. That's Jehoshaphat going into Ahab. The Pope is not a good man. The Catholic system's not a good system. It's damned many of souls. You know, preachers during the 1700s, 1800s, 1600s used to preach against the Pope. That he was, a lot of them looked at him as the Antichrist. Listen, when you preach that people can work their way into heaven, that's damnable. When you preach that you can speak ex cathedra, I said it right today. I didn't say ex catheter. Yeah. Ex cathedra, I said it right this time. Thank you, Lord. And you can proclaim things as if you're God. and you dictate what Scripture says, and you dictate that people and proclaim. Now, it's a little different today because they're trying to soften up a little bit, but nobody should read their Bibles. That will interpret the Bible for you. That's damnable. That we have power over your soul. There's only one that's got power over my soul, and that's God. Amen. Ain't no man got no power over my soul. He's a man just like I'm a man. And you got Billy Graham going over an audience with the Pope? Look at Luke chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth, oh, here we go, your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. If the whole world's going after it and the whole world loves it, it's probably an abomination to God. That which is highly esteemed among men, Billy Graham, is probably an abomination to God. Look, I got the videotape with Billy Graham talking to Robert Schuller saying basically anybody can get to heaven as long as they follow their God. All lead to heaven. That's damnable. A Buddhist continues in his religion and he dies in that religion, he's going to hell. I don't care how good his heart was. I don't care how many good works he's did. He's going to hell. Those that follow Confucius, same difference. If you're not saved by faith through grace, look, and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed for you to wash away your sins. If your faith and trust is not in that, and the Holy Ghost saves you and transforms you and makes you a new creature, and you die without that, you're going to hell. I don't care how good you were. There's a lot of, we were talking about this morning, there's a lot of good people right now in hell. A lot of people that did a lot of good things, but they were never born again of God. And unfortunately, they're in hell. But see, we want to, because of our feelings, and we don't want to acknowledge that, then we're going to change the gospel to fit our loved one going to hell. And that's damnable to those that are alive. There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And unless you're born of the Spirit, ye must be born again. Right there. It's been there for 40-some years. Ye must be born again. If you're not born again by the power of Jesus Christ, and you die without, you're going to hell. I don't care how good you were. Mother Teresa, she's not my mother, is in hell. And I know a lot of people, I'd probably be stoned right now if I was saying it out there. I'd be stoned real quick, like Stephen. She's in hell. She did not place her faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. She thought by her good works, which she did. I'm not negating what the woman did. She did a lot more than Bible-believing Christians would do. And she was lost. You can barely get Bible-believing Christians off the couch, yet you got a woman who's following a dead system doing things out there in the world to where some of the things that could have killed her physically. Yet, because of all her good works, none of her good works can merit her heaven. It's only the finished work of Jesus Christ. And she thought by the good works that she did that that would merit favor with God and earn her heaven. And that's a false doctrine. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's through Jesus Christ and his finished work. And you rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not what you do. And Mother Teresa placed her faith in her works. And that's what the Catholic Church teaches. Your good works get you to heaven. No, your good works can't get you nowhere with Jesus Christ and God. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that a man can enter into heaven. And that's the only way. But we join affinity with the world. How do you know it's a true message? Does all the world go after it? Second question is, does it seek to lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in truth by God's word? Notice that I said in truth and by God's word. When I have a man sitting in my office here a couple months ago and I say, this is what the Bible says, and he says, you can't tell me what the Bible says because you're not trained enough to tell me what the Bible says. That only the church fathers can tell you what the Bible says. You have no right to tell me what the Bible says. I said, but sir, the Bible says this. I can't hear you because you're ignorant. No, I can understand the book because I got the Holy Spirit of God. I don't need your church fathers and your church history to tell me what the Bible says. And for a thousand some years, you know what the Catholic Church did? Try to destroy and hide the Word of God from the common man so they could see their true need of salvation through Jesus Christ. Why? So they could hold power over countries and nations and almost the whole world. And guess what? It's coming back again. It's coming back again. Why? Because people have joined affinity with Ahab. And when they hear the truth, la 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 la, I don't want to hear it, to their own destruction. And you know what they do to those that are preaching the truth? Look back over at 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. We looked at this last week. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Verse number 26. 2 Chronicles 18 verse 26. 2 Chronicles 18 verse 26. And they say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water affliction until I return in peace. Did you not hear the message of Micaiah? Ahab so deaf-eared, can't hear what the truth being spoken right in front of his face. And he says, until I return in peace, hey, put this man in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I return in peace. Hey, did you not hear what the man of God said? He said, if you go up there, you're not coming back. So I guess Micaiah had to spend the rest of his days in prison. But brethren, there's laws being tried and being passed by numerous nations, one of them being Israel itself. Israel, France. France, and this was probably 15 years ago I was reading about it. I couldn't believe it. This was 15 years ago. France was trying to pass a law that if you spoke anything of the gospel of Jesus Christ and tried to propagate it or put it out, you go to prison. Israel just recently tried to pass something through their Congress that if you spoke anything over there trying to proselytize people, you're thrown in prison. And it's coming. To those that try to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's an offense to this world, and this world wants nothing to do with it. And as quick as they could today, they would cast all of us into prison if they could. This government that's here today, and this world out here today, if they could and they could have their way and with us, true Bible-believing Christians, they would throw us in prison and think nothing of it and throw away the key forever. Because this is an offense to them. And not only are we offense to them, this book is an offense to them. And I'm telling you, it's coming sooner than later. They're going to outlaw the King James Bible. I'm telling you, it's coming. They'll allow the message to be preached because it's proper pronouns and all that. But they're going to get rid of this book right here because of what this book stands for. And you're not going to be allowed to have one. I'm telling you, it's coming. You're not going to be allowed to own one. And I found out this week too as well that we have had some friends out there that have updated the King James Bible now. So I stand corrected last week when I said some man stand up and correct the mistakes that are in it. I guess there are men now correcting the mistakes that are in the King James Bible. And there's a new version of the King James Bible, the 2016 version now. So we got other versions coming out of our own book as well. Leave it alone. Brethren, you could tell we're getting towards the end. You can tell we're getting towards the end because nobody wants to hear truth. Nobody wants to hear truth. Don't tell me the truth that I'm getting ready to walk off the side of a cliff. How else can you know that it's telling the truth? Does it preach the cross and death to self? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Look over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. We can give this to all our friends who think you have to be water baptized to be saved. If you have to be water baptized to be saved, why did Paul say to the Corinthian church in chapter 1, in verse number 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize"? All right, so water baptism does not save. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," what? "But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." How you do, brethren, here's another key here in the Bible. How do you destroy the effect of the cross? You try to preach it with man's wisdom and not by the power of God. Look what the Bible says. Look what Paul says. "For Christ sent me not to preach, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Well, how did he tell them how to preach it? Not with the wisdom of words. Why? Because lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Brethren, think about how foolish it is with what we believe this morning. Just think for a moment how foolish it can be perceived with what we believe this morning. Here I am, an American, born in America, and yet I believe that some Jew 2,000 years ago who claimed to be God, walked on this planet, did miracles, lived a sinless life, never messed up one time, never sinned one time, and he claimed to be God, and then the Romans put him to death on the cross, and he claims that he had to go to that cross and shed his blood in order to forgive my sins, born 2,000 years some later. Think about how foolish that sounds to this world. That some man could be born 2,000 years ago to forgive you for what you did in 2022. Yet it's the power of God unto salvation. Brethren, either I'm completely crazy or there's something true about this book. Either I'm completely nuts to believe in some man 2,000 years ago that could forgive my sins, or what we're saying is truth, and it can change your life. I know it's truth, and I know it can change lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So you go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and Micaiah gets done talking, and you have Zedekiah speak up, slaps him in the face in verse 23, slaps Micaiah in the face, tries to act like a man of God and says, "The Spirit of the Lord from which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" Zedekiah mocks Micaiah. He mocks him. Micaiah says in verse 24, "You're going to know someday that what I'm saying is the truth, because you're going to die in your inner chamber." And then he gets thrown into prison. And we move on here, and we go into chapter 18 to verse 28. And we find that Jehoshaphat goes to battle with Ahab. And it says in verse 29, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go up into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to battle." You know, when you choose to join affinity with someone like Ahab, you're going to realize real quick that they don't care about you at all. All they care about is themselves. Some point, you're going to be put in a situation and you may have to make a decision that defies common sense and reason. You see, Jehoshaphat is making a decision here that he is not thinking. Jehoshaphat, I don't know if he's up there in the clouds with his mind. I don't know if he's just ignorant. I don't know if Jehoshaphat's just simple and thinks everybody loves him, or that anybody says that they know Jesus, that they love Jesus. But we got a lot of Christians like that today, that if someone just says that they love Jesus, oh, they're wonderful then. Or if it has the name of Jesus on it, well, it's just got to be good because they talk about Jesus. Do we not forget, though, that the devil can transform himself as a minister of light? And his ministers as ministers of wickedness. No, righteousness. They say all the right words, but they leave just a few out, just enough to make you think that they love God. And that was Ahab. "We're going to inquire of the Lord. I got 400 prophets here, and they're going to tell us that we're going to win this battle." Doesn't sound like Joel Osteen. "Today's your best day yet. If you just do, the Bible is giving you all this prosper. If you just do what God says, you're going to have 5 cars out in your yard. But if you just have enough faith..." We had a faith healer walking around our neighborhood yesterday. I told Melanie we should let the dog bite him and then see if he can get healed. Why ain't he going into the hospital? Why ain't you going into a nursing home? I know. Why don't you go over to the Koval's house? Yeah, because what you got, you're a false prophet. And you move off of people's emotions, and when someone doesn't get healed, your excuse is they didn't have enough faith to give you an out. Brother, I got no time for it because I was involved in it. Nonsense. Ministers of righteousness. False apostles. Brethren, don't act like an apostle. I told Melanie, I said, they should go walk through the graveyard over here. Start raising some people from the dead. Go down to the morgue and lay some hands on some dead bodies and bring them back to life again. They ain't going to do that. They're going to put out their flyers, go into their church services. They're going to have their drums, their piano, their trumpet players, their jazz players. They're going to stir things up, get people crying, get it worked up. They're going to come up and start laying hands on people, get emotions going, and people are going to claim to get saved and blah, blah, or healed and blah, 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 blah. And everybody's going to walk out, and they're going to go do the same things they did before they walked in there. Brethren, I've been there. I've done it. I've had people lay their hands on my head. Brethren, I know whereof I speak. I was raised Pentecostal. And I remember sitting at a church service down there in Charleston, South Carolina. I wasn't even married yet. And we had some people come through because the Brownsville Revival was going on down there in Florida, if anybody remembers that. There was a huge revival. Supposedly all these miracles taking place at a church down in Brownsville, Florida. And it also it carried over to some place, I believe, over in Texas to where they were even saying gold dust was falling from the ceilings. And I remember we had some women that went down to that meeting and came back up. And you already now I know it's a mess. And they would try to get the music stirred up. And we had people come in and preach from there saying, if you have enough faith, God will heal you. And I remember sitting there, sincere as could be, in the pew, asking God to heal my eyes to where I wouldn't need glasses no more. I was sincere. I said, God, please, it'd be nice to not have to wear glasses and be able to see clearly, God. Lord, could you please hear my eyes? And then you get some preacher say, well, son, I'm sorry, you just don't have enough faith. Makes me want to punch a hole through this pulpit. You know what that does to somebody that's sincere? You know the torment that it puts in your head then? Son, you ain't got enough faith. God, why don't I got enough faith? God, I'm trying. Lord, God, please do this for me. I despise that nonsense. And that's exactly what it is. Tricks of the devil. Ministers of righteousness. Brethren, God help us to get back to biblical truth. So Jehoshaphat, for whatever reason, disguised to follow this man who cares nothing about him. You see, King Ahab is absolutely no friend to King Jehoshaphat. You see, King Ahab is only using him for his own benefit, for his own advantage, and for his own profit. He is using Jehoshaphat as a decoy so that he can go out there and have fun in battle. You put on your kingly robes, I'm going to disguise myself, I'm going to go into the battle, because King Ahab knows as soon as they step foot on that battlefield, they're going to be going after the one that looks like a king. Take out the leader and everybody else will scatter. Ahab's not stupid. Jehoshaphat, though, is fine and blindly. Well, he just likes me. He's my friend. And he's leading you right off the cliff. And there's Christians like that today following, spending time with people. Well, they're my friends. They love me. They love God. And they're leading you right off the cliff. They'll be just fine. Lead you right off the cliff. Because look what the Bible says here. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 30. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. The king of Syria says, listen, he says to his captains, hey, listen, fellas, you guys that are on the chariots, don't you fight with nobody small or great. Fellas, I want you, as we go out here in this battle, you find the king of Israel and you kill him. I don't care about everybody else around here. You go right after that king. Look what the Bible says in verse 31. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And it came to pass, and when the captains of the chariot perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life in his ignorance, or I don't know what is going through his mind, but he thinks that Ahab's his friend. He does what Ahab says to do. He finds himself in the middle of a battle, and you don't do that, brethren. Brethren, in battles today, I know in World War I, II, Vietnam, Korean War, especially some there in Vietnam, specifically, to where some instances in some battles, the officers did not wear their insignias. Why? So that when they're in battle, the enemy is looking for who's in charge. And if you see a colonel, or you see a major, or you see a captain, shoot and take them out, because then they know unless somebody steps up, it's going to cause disorder within the battle. And Jehoshaphat, because he's never been in battles before, it appears, he goes in there, and I'm not trying to be funny, but almost like a clown. You don't go into battle wearing your king's robes. He has no battle knowledge. And he goes in there, and he's sitting around in the middle of the battle in his nice little chariot with his robes on, thinking, oh, ain't this nice? Sir, you're in the middle of a battle. Sir, this is a serious place that you're in, sir. And all of a sudden, the chariots of Syria encompass about him. And Joshua's like, whoa, hold on, whoa, time out. I'm not the king of Israel. And only because God intervened was his life saved. God intervened and said, son, you're in the wrong spot. But he doesn't realize it yet, because the prophet ain't spoken to him yet. And it turns out that Ahab gets killed because an archer at adventure shoots out his arrow. And God knows exactly where Ahab's at. And what Micaiah said, what the Lord spoke through Micaiah, and God takes out Ahab. You see, brethren, I want to ask you this question this morning. Are those you are spending time with and fellowshipping with drawing you closer to the Lord and his word, or further away? Are they drawing you closer to truth, or further away from truth? And I'm not just talking about friends. I'm talking about any influences in your life today. Is it drawing you closer to God, causing you to be stagnant with God, or drawing you further away from God? That's one of the ways you know if something's truth. What does it emphasize and what does it glorify? Was it the Lord's intervention that saved King Jehoshaphat? But he should have never been in that position in the first place. He should have never joined affinity with Ahab, and he was with the wrong crowd at the wrong time, and it almost cost him his life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, Ahab gets rebuked by the prophet of the Lord for associating himself with the ungodly and those that hate the Lord. Look at verse number 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest, look what he says here, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Jehoshaphat gets another warning. But unfortunately, as we read through the story of Jehoshaphat, it comes back to affect him again, to where he joins affinity with the king of Israel and he loses a bunch of ships. And not only does it affect him in his loss, almost of his life, and then of his ships, but then it affects his son, because his son and his grandson go and do some of the same things and they end up losing their life because of the affinity that Jehoshaphat had with the world. And with those that claim to love God. Brethren, God sends warning. God sends warning. And God says you better not keep fellowshipping with those that hate God, that hate his word, that hate the truth, that want a religion of their own making and of their own minds and thoughts. If one is preaching what they think and not what the Bible says, you need to get as far away from them as you can. I don't know what does the Bible say? And let's follow the word of God. Jehoshaphat gets rebuked by Jehu. But the good thing about Jehoshaphat is he takes it in verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. And thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. I'm closing with this morning. And we're going to continue on with our study here in Jehoshaphat. But as we close up here, Jehoshaphat, like I said earlier, I think Jehoshaphat was one of the best kings that Judah ever had. But I think in him being one of the best kings that Judah had, one of the couple things that he did caused some of the most ruination to come upon the kingdom of Judah because of who he's had affinity with. You see, things were going well during his reign with the kingdom of Judah. He implemented, as we're going to see in some further services, he implemented some great things for his leadership in that country. But because of his ties, his close ties with Ahab, it's going to bring ruination to this country after he's gone. It's not going to happen so much in his days, but in his children's days, because he walked too close with the world. He was a good man, loved God, tried to follow God, but he also tried to have the world in the other hand, and it ended up costing him his children. And too many Bible-believing Christians today are trying to walk with the world in his hand and God in his hand, and their kids see right through it, and it affects their kids when they turn 18, 19, 20 years old when they're off on their own. And they go off right off into the world. Because they see mommy and daddy doing it. And mommy and daddy can kind of handle it because mommy and daddy have somewhat of God in their life. But the kid, gone. I can name instances right now. Through the years, seen it. Families, kids grow up in church. As soon as they get old enough, boom, gone. Off into the world. Why? Because daddy held football in this hand and God in this hand. And when the kid got old enough, he went with football. Daddy held movies in this hand and God in this hand. And the kid got older, poof, right off, went off in the movies. Daddy held ungodly music in this hand and God in this hand. And the kid went full bore with that ungodly music after he got out of the house. You can't hold both in both hands and expect there not be consequences down the road. You might be able to handle it, but the kids might not be able to handle it. And it's happening all over our land today with kids growing up in church. As soon as they get old enough, poof, gone. Why? Because the church has got affinity with Ahab. Saying good things, doing good things within the church, saying the right things, got the right Bible, got the right message, got the right gospel. They walk out these doors and they start doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing. And the kids see it and the kids take off with it when they're older. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I've seen it time and time and time again. Kids want nothing to do with God. Want nothing to do with God. Why? Because they watch mommy and daddy put emphasis on other things once they were outside this church building. I saw it some in my own life sometimes. I'd scratch my head. Why are we watching this? I would sometimes get embarrassed by some things that my mom and dad were watching on television because I would hear one thing in church and then see another thing at home. And as a young teenage boy, sometimes I'd get embarrassed. I'm thinking, ain't my dad jealous that my mom's oogling over this man on the television screen? Look, if I had a television and my wife's sitting there and she's saying how cute or handsome some man is, I'm putting my foot through that TV screen. I'm the one that's handsome and good looking, not him. You want Robert Redford? Go get Robert Redford. Show some age right there on that one. Brethren, that's nonsense. My wife ever, I'd be like, excuse me? I'm your hunk. Not that man. But how many women do it? And how many men do it? How many wives were jealous when their husbands watched Dukes of Hazzard? Yeah, and Daisy walks out in her short shorts and her chest hanging out, and you tell me ain't no men lusted after her with their wife sitting right there? Sorry, Kathy. Brethren, you wonder why the church is in the mess it's in today? Well, that's just innocent, preacher. It's not innocent. It's not innocent when you're sitting here and you're watching a girl come across the screen because it's a TV show and in your heart you're lusting after. And don't tell me men didn't lust after her. She was attractive. And the devil knows exactly what he's doing. And she goes trouncing across with her short shorts on and her chest hanging out. And husbands are sitting there and the wives right there and the kids are right there. And they're seeing what you're putting the emphasis on. And yet daddy might be able to handle it, but then the kid's going to grow up and get addicted to pornography. It's the truth. It starts off innocent, and then it leads to destruction. Because an affinity with Ahab, and a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Sorry for getting stirred up and for hitting the pulpit, but these things are serious. And I'm tired of seeing kids go by the wayside. It breaks my heart. There's some situations right now going on in my personal life, and it breaks my heart. Because I love these kids. And they're not here. And back home. But they're raised with my kids. And now what they're putting the emphasis on. And what they're involved in with drugs and all kinds of stuff. And Why? Because I saw what Daddy and Mama put the emphasis on. And now it's coming out in their kids. And they're still in church, but the kids aren't. And it breaks my heart. We can't have the world in one hand and affinity with Ahab and expect God have God in the other hand and expect to have good results come from it. The only thing that comes from it is possible destruction. And if we received a warning, may God help us to receive the warning. May God help us to repent and get back to where we need to be as true Bible-believing Christians with the power of God in our life. Not just some soft little gospel that we got, but the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, your mercy and grace. Lord, I thank you for these brethren, dear God. And Lord, God help us, Lord. Even if this church is the last church, dear God, I don't want to sound like Elijah, dear God. But even so, dear Lord, help us to stand for truth, Lord. Help us not to want to have an affinity with Ahab. God, help us to separate ourselves from this world in the right way. Lord, help us to walk in the light of your truth, dear God. Lord, help us to be, Lord, your Bible says in Peter, dear God, that our adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Lord, help us to be aware of the snares and the traps that the enemy tries to set to gain a hold, a foothold, not only in our churches, but in our homes. God, help us to be aware of it, dear Lord. And Lord, help us to walk closer to you. Help us to love you more, Lord. And help us to magnify you in our lives, dear God, in everything that we say and we do. Lord, there's a reckoning day. There's a reckoning day, dear God. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that, Lord, you call me home someday, dear God. Lord, it's my desire to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So Lord, help us to walk in the light of these things. Lord, help us to learn from Jehoshaphat. Help it just not to be a nice little Bible story that goes in one ear and out the other. But Lord, help us to apply these principles and these examples that are set forth to us in your word, that we may grow by them, dear God, and be more what you desire for us to be through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask you to help us this morning. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to close with a hymn this morning, page number 18 in the hymn book. Page number 18. Page number 18. If you're able to stand, I'd like to close with page number 18, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Page number 18 in the hymn book. If you can stand, if you're able to stand, let's sing this song out to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Page number 18.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
So, Lord, I ask you again, Father, please assist us with your blessing. Get us home safely. And if it be your will, Lord, you bring us back home, or bring us back here again safely seen for your glory and your honor and your praise. We ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you. Hope to see you tonight.